Thai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We've spoken a number of times over the last couple of years, over the last 2 years, with Herman Bosman. He's from TSU International. He's a veteran hostage negotiation specialist. He understands and has been involved at all levels of hostage negotiations. And we've taken his advice and sought his input throughout the 2 years that since October the 7th, 2023. Herman, thank you for joining us once again. I hope you are well. I would imagine...
Good morning, yes.
Nice to chat to you again. I imagine that the next 72 hours are absolutely crucial, vital, dangerous. Tell me about probability of success.
Well, I think with just also good morning to the listeners. If I assess the current, if I say agreement reached in negotiations, there's normally two parallels between the parties in conflict, and that is, do they honestly seek to have peace? Are they in agreement that they want to coexist in a peaceful setting, or are they forced to come to an agreement? So if in the first instance where both parties want to agree and have peace and exist peacefully together, it's easier than the other one because there's an inner willingness to do so. In this scenario, it's not the case. It's a forced, if I may use the analogy, forced marriage of inconvenience, so to speak, because it's not really what's wanted. But there's not much of a choice left for Hamas in this scenario. So the negotiations came about and the agreements, so to speak, came about largely because of, I think, three factors. So at this point in time, I think the ceasefire is what we have. I think 20 points that must be steps that will follow from here that everybody have to agree on and comply with. So currently, it's only in the beginning phases of this. Now, the three factors is, number one, is definitely President Trump's involvement in it, but also the Abrahamic Accord, I think, with the Arabic world and everybody uniting and telling Hamas to comply. And then I don't think we must underestimate the Prime Minister Netanyahu and what Israel has been doing, having a very strong arm and, so to speak, leaving Hamas with absolutely no choice. And I think that plays a massive role in this. If it wasn't that, Hamas was not going to agree and just comply, because I don't think they are honest and sincere in wanting to have this agreement the way it's done. They're forced to accept it. But if there's any way out of it, I think they would want to get out of it. But for them, it's just currently very difficult.
The challenge for Hamas is that once the hostages are released, their bargaining power reduces to virtually nothing.
Exactly what we've been discussing the last 2 years since this tragic incident started. And that's exactly the position why they've hang on to what they can up until now with, as we learned, 20 hostages being alive, and I hope it's correct. So, but that is what is basically in their hand of cards, what they have to hold on to. But everybody else except Iran is telling them to comply and accept this agreement. So it will be very interesting to see how this is going to play out. Will everybody in Hamas adhere to this? What will the role of Iran be in this whole thing? How will they react to this? So there's a lot of uncertainties, and I think, yes, we are optimistic, but we also know what history has taught us, and we know that this is on a knife edge, and we need to be very cautious to be over-optimistic about what is currently happening.
Is that one of the reasons, in your view, that Trump is going to the region ahead of the release?
Absolutely. I think he wants to show all the role players that he's sincere. I think he also indicated that the U.S. will play a big role in the new governing establishment that will oversee the transition with a new structure of governance in that area, how that would, at the end of the day, look like. I also know this is not UN sanctioned, so the UN is actually not, as I've understood, that happy about the U.S.'s role in it as a single player. But with all fairness to,
well,
to
they did
the
it.
U.S.,
yeah.
they with all fairness to the U.S., the UN had many, many, many years to do similar, and they've just not managed to do so. So, and I think the reason, once again, is the one that shows I'm strong, I'm not weak, and you're not going to push me over, is normally the one that people listen to. I mean, it's a rule that we even see in the animal kingdom, and it's just the way it is in negotiations as well. The one with the stronger hand and bargaining power, at the end of the day, is the one that normally would succeed. And the UN simply have lost credibility to that extent and not trusted by the role players in this instance.
Yeah, it really does say a lot about the United Nations and their role there. That is where we leave it, Herman Bosman. Thank you as always. Herman is head of TSU International, Kidnapping, Hostage Survival and Extortion, and has been and continues to be an incredible guide and source of information to us. Certainly has been over the last couple of years, and no doubt will continue to be so. Just